leg up on saving lives.
Aerospace writer Marcia Dunn. The first spacecraft in the series, GOES-16, has been monitoring the Atlantic and East Coast for the past year for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the same first-class service now coming to the Pacific region, says officials. You can read more news and get more analysis. They're both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com. Well, hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world is what we're all about. Goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. And of course, tech news you can use. And we come to each and every week with stories that we find interesting. Of course, if you want to find out where we're getting this stuff from, you can get the Flipboard app and subscribe to BoomerTechRadio.com. You can also stop by our website, BoomerTechRadio.com. And also, if you want to hear replays of this show, that's where you'll find them, as well as the ability to podcast, to download podcasts via iTunes or Stitcher or the Google Play Store, as well as, we are told, TuneIn Radio. We found the show there a few times. Not sure how it got there.
It's been there for a while.
Somebody thought it was worth putting up there.
Yeah, well, I myself am not too flattered by that, because there's lots of stuff on TuneIn.
Mm-hmm. However, our voices, the long and short of it is that our voices, for good or bad, for good or bad, can be heard in any number of ways. Unlike, and we are pre-recording the show today, we have some family stuff going on, so it's Thursday as we pre-record.
And no, it's Friday.
It's Friday. Okay, I'm off by a full day.
We're all mixed up.
Typically, we would pre-record on a Thursday, but yes, it is Friday as we pre-record this episode. And as we record, a story coming out of The Verge that, just like in the Super Bowl ad, Alexa has gone silent. Lost her voice during a widespread outage from Amazon Web Services. The outage impacting Amazon servers has resulted in Alexa becoming unresponsive on Echo products. When the author, at the time of writing this, said the blue ring simply stayed lit up for about 15 seconds with no response, and a tone sounded and said that the system had lost connection. Now, this happened to us the other night, but it turned out to be the phone company. We have AT&T UVerse service at our house, because that's the only thing we can get, which is a whole lot better than DSL. If you're still stuck on DSL, it's just is abysmal, but we were unable to make a connection through our Echo.
DSL's better than dial-up.
Yes. And then we confirmed that our Google Home wasn't working and the Nest thermostat wasn't hooked up, and so we said, okay, there's a problem here. So when this happens, of course, and we've gone through this, the reboot procedure for your in-home router, you unplug it, leave it unplugged for several minutes, and what that allows to happen is the memories to reset inside the device, inside your router, because what your router has is essentially an index file of where
all your devices are. Every device in your house, whether it be wireless or a hard connection, has a unique IP address, Internet Protocol address. And in order to send the right packets of data to the right device, that address table has to be correct. And sometimes it gets, honked
confused.
Up. It gets confused. So the first troubleshooting thing when you suddenly have all your devices go kerfluffle, and you go look at those status lights on the front of your service router, and it doesn't matter whether you've got cable or DSL or UVerse or even satellite service, generally you've got status lights on the front of your device that will tell you what's going on.
Watching those blinking lights.
Yeah, watch those blinking lights. And usually it's fairly intuitive. There's a couple of cryptic things on there. There's ULDO, upload, download. The ones you want to look for are like status and connected and internet. There will usually be lights with those designations or similar. And if they are not the normal color, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's green, or they're blinking in a rapid manner, that indicates there's a problem. So you unplug the router and just go away for a while. Don't fuss with it for about 5-10 minutes. Plug it back in and then patiently wait. And that's hard for some people.
Are you making fun of me?
To patiently wait while the device resets, because what it has to do, of course, is go out and reset all those addresses for all the devices. And the average home these days has 20-plus separate devices in it that all communicate with the Internet through your router. If you've got a couple of security cameras that are web-enabled, if you've got an Echo, if you've got a Home, if you've got a Nest thermostat, and I know there's people probably listening to this radio show or saying, I will never have any of those things in my house because I don't want them looking at me.
Okay. It doesn't work that way, but, that's okay.
Fine.
But it's a relatively simple thing because all you have to do is flip a switch, wait a while, flip the switch, and it'll all automatically reboot, all is well.
Usually what you end up doing is actually, and you can do this either at where it plugs into the wall or where it plugs into the back of the router or modem. There's a little black DC plug. It's usually cylindrical, about an inch long, has a very fine wire. And one thing you want to check for at this juncture is make sure, if you have a cat in the house especially, that the device is in fact getting power. If all the lights are out, then you got to look for something a little bit further up the line, such as either a power failure or maybe the power supply has failed. ATT DSL modems used to be notorious for this. The power supply would overheat and die. And you don't just plug any wall wart into this thing.
No.
You want to make sure you have an exact replacement.
Yep.
Anyway.
And try the simplest thing first, too.
Exactly. I always tell people that. Don't get too wrapped up in the complicated stuff till you've tried the simple things first.
That has served me well numerous times.
Well, it's why the help desk people say, is it plugged in? And you want to yell at them, well, you idiot, of course it's plugged in. But for a lot of people, they don't think to look at that. They don't think to look that the power light is on, or in some cases, even that the PC is plugged in. Oh, I have no internet. I can't move my foot. You know, it's that sort of thing. Long story behind that my brothers will laugh when they hear. Anyway, you have to just kind of go down the line. But if you are patient, you can resolve 99% of your internet connection problems that way. In this case, however, with this failure.
Systemic failure.
Yeah, this was a full system failure, and it took out just about all the Amazon services. Slack and applications that depend on Amazon as their backbone all had downtime. And by the time this goes on the air, the system should be back up. Usually they have a high incentive to keep this thing working.
Well, can you imagine how many bucks an hour, more like a minute, this is costing them?
Oh, per second. They were talking Amazon Web Services, which handles traffic for like Netflix. And of course, ooh, Amazon's video streaming.
Yep. That will make a dent for sure.
Yeah. Now, interesting. Last week, a popular online service known as Second Life would not log anybody in. And according to an inside source I have, what happened is that the IT people had allowed the certificate on the login server to expire.
Oopsie.
On a weekend.
Yo, that's just not good.
And so, as you make, and apparently several servers keyed off of this one server for a valid certificate. What a certificate is that it tells your computer that this is a legitimate system you're logging into and not a fake. So these security certificates are rather important. Apparently, this expired certificate wasn't updated, the codes weren't right, so the whole system locked up, and thousands of people were unable to access the service, which, of course, is downtime, which is dollars.
Yeah.
And IT people start thinking about updating their resumes.
Yep.
Anyway, by the time this show hits the air, I'm sure that Alexa will once again be speaking in her lovely contralto tones.
Well, she should be back on the air.
Yeah. And both Amazon, well, Siri, Amazon, and the Google lady, Siri, Alexa, and the Google lady, who has no real name, just assistant. all have somewhat snarky female voices. Have you noticed that? They have a little bit of an attitude.
It's somewhat, yep. Yeah.
But if, in some countries, you can get a male voice for your smart device. I'm sure that more voices will be available. In some cultures, of course, a male voice is more legitimate, oddly. But in the Air Force learned years ago when they first started experimenting with voice response systems, and anyone who has been around a mother calling her kids is well aware that the female voice will cut through noise like nothing else ever.
That's why, true story, why my mother had us call her mother. Because there were lots of moms and mommies out there, but if she heard mother, she knew it was her kids.
Yeah. It's like when she used your middle name, that's when you knew that it was about to hit the fan.
I never got that.
Well, you did.
Oh, no, and I wasn't that good. I tried to be good, but it didn't always work well, right?
Did your brother ever hear his middle name?
Oh, we never heard our middle names.
Oh.
No.
For most kids, that's like the sound of doom.
The first name said a certain way was sufficient.
It's all in the tonation.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
absolutely. And yeah, it's so true, right? Mm.
Dear me. Let's see here. You know, a lot of people want to get a higher education. You know, but going to college, my goodness.
Oh, my God, it's so expensive. If I did it today, I couldn't afford to do it today.
Right, right. But a lot of people need at least training in these advanced areas, such as robots, automation, coding.
Well, or if you need an upgrade or what have you, you know, you may not be just starting out. Maybe you want to go for an advanced degree or get some tune-ups.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the time or the resources to attend a institution of higher education in the brick-and-mortar style, a bachelor's degree is available, and as long as four-year degrees are available, and legitimate ones. These aren't online diploma mills. These are actual
accredited programs.
Universities.
Yeah.
Or if you just want to expand your toolbox, you know, learn some things that will be useful and give you an edge, because the piece of paper is one thing, and more savvy employers are saying they will give you some tests to see just what you know and whether you have the degree or not. It's, can you do the job? So for educations in liberal arts, Coursera C-O-U-R-S-E-R-A, pioneered massive open online courses back in 2012. They have 28 million users and over 2,000 courses. They can either be free or a small fee to earn the certificate. And this is from places like Harvard and Stanford. Pretty good stuff.
Yep.
The catalog has expanded beyond traditional subjects like history and mathematics. There's been a lot of interest in courses that are about personal and professional development. The most popular classes include machine learning from Stanford University without having to go to Stanford.
Which is incredibly expensive.
Yeah. You want to learn about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency technologies? You can get a course from Princeton. I would say offhand that they know what the heck they're talking about. Suppose you want to do a Yale education in the financial markets. It's available on Coursera.
Now, interestingly enough, in this particular article, as you have it posted in Flipboard, it does not load on my tablet very well.
Hmm.
So I am going to reboot my tablet. Remember, start with the simplest thing first.
Right. Now, in some cases, when you're trying to look at something on your tablet, and you should not have to do it, but in some cases, if something is looking really wonky and you normally use your tablet in landscape mode, in other words, it's wider than it is tall, the way you look at your television set, you may want to put it in portrait mode, which is how idiots shoot video for television shows.
Well, some people do.
And they call that... Well, that's just an artistic expression. No, it means you're too dumb to turn the phone on its side to get a widescreen picture.
Well, yeah, not.
I'm old school that way. I'm a fuddy-duddy. I'm a traditionalist. But that's something you might try. If you've got a web page that is not coming up correctly, try turning your device, return your device to its normal upright position as you prepare for landing.
As you prepare for viewing.
Yeah, and see if that clears it up, because sometimes these pages are coded.
Right, to only display in
portrait mode. They're set up for a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are other MOOC, M-O-O-C, providers, Udacity and edX. These are platforms where for small fee, because they don't have to maintain a classroom, pay
right.
teachers, and do all this stuff.
Oh, yes. Preparing coursework for online courses is a big business.
Yep.
I mean, that's an up-and-coming thing.
Yep.
It has been for some time.
Now, I've heard of these folks before, Khan Academy. Khan! The site has lauded for its streamlined, expert-driven content in the form of short YouTube videos. So if you've gotten one of those catalogs from the great courses, and you think that $159 to learn about astronomy is just a bit on the stiff side, take a look at Khan University.
Yep, I think it's free.
Yeah. Free or very low cost.
Yeah.
You can look, many institutions are now offering open learning programs, Harvard, Carnegie Mellon, Yale, MIT. Now, these are top drawer institutions, and these often serve to serve as undergraduate help or to help you gear up to get into some specific courses. There's also some, maybe you don't need an education, but you want to read some classics. You really, and this is one of the longest things that's been out there on the Internet, is Project Gutenberg. Have you ever heard of Project Gutenberg?
I don't think I have.
Refers to the first printing press,
yes.
Of course. And what Gutenberg has done is they have taken a lot of these old works that are in the public domain and refreshed them into a digital format with proofreading. In fact, a friend of mine was a Gutenberg proofreader for some number of years as another service that is similar and Black Book, not Black Book, but it's something along those lines. Same thing, where documents that otherwise would be lost to time
mm-hmm.
are stored and archived.
Archived, yeah, archive stuff.
Mm-hmm. The Internet Archive is another neat place to find just some absolute nuggets, especially old films, documents, papers, and the Internet Archive, if you look them up, is a great, which I have used to find some stock footage for my video project.
Uh-huh. So. These things are out there.
Yep. Of course, if you want to get ideas that think outside the box, real hard to beat TED Talks.
Yeah, we have been wonderful.
To a TED Talk.
They're great. Mm-hmm. Yep, and some of them lend themselves well to the audio world. Others, it's much better if you have video. I don't think I've ever heard a bad one,
mm-hmm.
or one that you know, the person doesn't present their ideas and whatnot.
Right.
You get 20 minutes to...
It's
like 18 minutes to do your thing. And the most powerful one that I ever saw on that was a researcher that dealt with elephants in Africa.
Yeah.
And they thought that the decimation of the environment was all due to the elephants, so they killed thousands of elephants. And they found out that wasn't the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says that he regrets extremely in his career doing that because it wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
So very interesting. It turned out that it was grazing practices that were the problem.
Ah.
And they figured out how to fix that. But, you know, how do you – it takes a while to get in bad shape, and it takes a while to get out of bad shape.
So a lot of this stuff is free. But if – and, of course, other resources include – BBC Learning, the British Broadcasting Corporation, has some great science and academic courses available online for if you want to just expand your horizons. Then there's MasterClass. Now, this isn't free. This is a subscription that's almost $200 a year, but hosts a number of highly professional-made videos instead of some kid sitting in front of a smartphone, you know, with bad sound and horrible lighting. These courses include Judd Apatow, Gordon Ramsay has wisdom on cooking. Diane von Furstenberg will share tips for building a fashion brand. So the information is out there. You may have to dig around for a little bit of it. You may have to do some research. You may have to shell out a couple of bucks here and there. But by the way, there's another resource, online courses, Lynda, Lynda, .com, which offers video courses in a number of subjects. I used it when I was first learning Adobe Premiere Pro for video editing. Very, very useful resource. It is not cheap, but it is certainly cheaper than taking a whole day off at a time to go to attend a school. Because
yep.
you can, if you didn't get a concept, you watch the video over again.
Yep, that's the great part about that, right?
Yeah. So, world-class education out there for nothing or next to nothing.
So many interesting topics, mm-hmm. yeah. too. So many things you can indulge in your curiosities about.
Yeah. So, people who want nothing for next to nothing, or want something for nothing, have gone into Bitcoin mining. So we have a story here out of on the AP out of Iceland where 600 very powerful computers of the type used to mine Bitcoin and other virtual currencies have been stolen from data centers in Iceland. And what police are saying, it was the biggest series of thefts ever in Iceland.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't steal the Bitcoins. They stole the devices to make the Bitcoins.
$2 million worth of computers. The Bitcoin systems, basically it takes a lot of computer cycles
yes.
to mine Bitcoins. And maybe this is why
little itty bitty bits of Bitcoins.
Yeah. this is why you can't buy a good graphics card right now. The gaming industry is really in a tizzy because all of the brand new, NVIDIA GTX 10 series cards, the 1060s, the 1080s, especially the new Titan series of video cards, the high-end AMD cards, they're all being bought up by these data centers that are professional bit miners, or Bitcoin miners. And they right now, it's almost impossible to buy just a new graphics card for your PC. A high-end graphics card.
So this was not a case of all these computers in one place. They were actually in, they may have been in one place, but they didn't get burgled all at once. There were actually four burglaries to take all of these computers, and they haven't caught all of the perpetrators yet, or the key ringleaders anyway.
Yeah.
But kind of interesting.
Obviously a big setup and more arrests out, no doubt coming.
Highly organized event.
Yes.
Very well planned, apparently.
And make your plans to stay right where you are, because Boomer Tech Radio will be back after these messages at the bottom of the hour. Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Don't miss the return of the premier Northern California NorCal Boats, Ford, and RV show in Anderson, now through Sunday. It's fun for the whole family and the best prices of the year on all forms of sport and recreation. It's the one sport event of the year not to be missed. Fishing and pleasure boats, RVs, tackle, Wildcats at the World Show, hydro flight demos, meet Mace and Tackle Rob, ride the zipline, Phil's propeller bass bin, the Pepsi Kids Live Drop Fishing Pond, Ultimate Base Camp, Liberty Cabins, Boone and Crockett Display. All this and more at the Shasta District Fairgrounds and Event Center. Sponsored in part by Action News Now and this radio station.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheraton Reading Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register, or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
And welcome back. It's Boomer Tech Radio. Thank you very much for holding on through the break, or if you're just joining us, it's the tech news that you can use. We have fun with this. Goodies and gadgets and gizmos. Before the break, we were talking about computers that could be used to mine Bitcoin, and they have there's a high value in these very, very powerful computer systems that are used for complex tests. For instance, the Russians discovered that one of their top secret military research installations, the supercomputer there was that simulated atomic explosions, was being used to mine Bitcoin. I imagine that those individuals didn't need to update their resume because they wouldn't have one anymore.
Yeah, so did somebody hack into it, or were the people,
the researchers were actually doing it? Using the supercomputer in off hours to mine bitcoins. I imagine that the Russian authorities
took a dim view of that.
Pretty much at midnight.
Yeah.
Bill Gates is coming out saying that he thinks that cryptocurrency is a really bad thing. Now, a lot of financial people, you know, Warren Buffett, a lot of the head of the British Bank, a lot of other established financial organizations say, oh, no. Bitcoin is a trap. Mr. Gates, not a fan of cryptocurrencies. He is linking them to drug-related deaths. The philanthropist said during a Ask Me Anything discussion on Reddit, he opposes cryptocurrencies because criminals, terrorists, and tax evaders benefit from the transactions, the anonymous transactions. Now, I know people in law enforcement who have told me if law enforcement really wants to trace back your Bitcoin stuff, they can find out. Where they can't actually do much about it is, of course, is where the perpetrator is in Russia or China or someplace like that, where you can't get at them. But you can, with a lot of diligence, backtrack the currency through the logs. Gates said that because cryptocurrency, he has allowed anonymous trading and drugs online, it's a rare technology that has caused deaths in a fairly direct way. Of course, Bitcoin has been around since 2009. Part of its popularity due to the ability to avoid the prying eyes of law enforcement and government officials. That reputation grew because it was the only currency accepted on Silk Road. That's a dark web marketplace for drugs and other illicit goods and services, including prostitution. The FBI shut them down in 2013. Other cryptocurrencies have popped up in the meantime, some of which have been epic fails, like Ethereum. But there's new ones
being
invented.
I love that name. Ethereum. I know. I love that name, though, because it really is ethereal.
Charles Hayter is the CEO of the cryptocurrency information firm CryptoCompare. He says Gates' comments are true to an extent, but slightly naive. He just doesn't get it. But there are concerns. And, in fact, I heard an ad on this very radio station telling people to jump on the cryptocurrency bandwagon invest through some company. Not to disparage one of an advertiser, and it wasn't a local advertiser, it was one of those network things. I would stay away from any outfit that advertises in, you know, that sort of thing in this sort of forum.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like we had a very impassioned discussion with a local doctor about a national cancer care chain, which I will not name. Her opinion was extremely revealing because the upshot was they only accept cash. And so when you're dealing with people's emotions and fears and last-ditch things, and you're saying that if you give me your money, I can offer you hope, people will grab that. And that's exactly what these cryptocurrency scams are about. You offer somebody the chance to get rich quick, which is the king of scams. Let's face it. The Nigerian money laundering scam, which has been around as long as there have been computers or email, which still occasionally snags somebody, or the person who calls you on the phone to
solicit something.
You've had a big inheritance, you're going to get a bunch of money, but you need to give them the filing fee.
That isn't the way that works.
No.
And anytime anybody calls you and solicits you for money like that, you should run away as fast as possible in the other direction.
Your name has been flagged for lottery winnings. To register your name, you know, enter your credit card number now. I'm sorry, but if you fall for that, I won't say somebody deserves to get fleeced, but
it's hard to defend yourself against that sort of thing. Yeah, you just have to be very, very careful. And it's simple. Just say, I don't do business like that over the phone, or I don't do business that way. Do your homework. You know, if you're if you have even a kernel of suspicion, you need to listen to your intuition. Yep.
So when you buy an Apple device, how long do you think it ought to last?
Well, okay. Are we talking software-wise and operating system and support-wise,
or
are we talking about the piece of hardware itself?
Any hardware. How long should it remain viable?
Well, I don't think of it in terms of that. I think of it in terms of more of the software and the operating system, and how long is it going to be supported, and how long is it viable?
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a
and the battery. But as far as the rest of it, I don't really give it much thought.
Now, I have a Mac Pro from 2008, which really doesn't have a lot of active life, although since it's running OS X, I think it has Snow Leopard in it.
That's a few back.
That's several generations back. I probably really can't plug it into the internet, but I could use it as an in-house file server.
Sure.
And because the old Mac Pros, these are the aluminum towers that are 3 feet high, well, maybe 2 feet high.
They're just chunky.
They're built like a tank. I mean, this thing is eighth inch aluminum. So if you've got an old Mac Pro or something like that, or even an old Mac. Now, I've got a MacBook 2012.
They just don't build them like that anymore.
Now, I've got a MacBook 2012 that I'm going to squeeze at least one more year out of because of this video project that we do. But it's getting towards the end of its useful life. The average useful life for hardware, whether it be your iPhone or a tablet or a Mac, whether it be a MacBook or a MacBook Pro or whatever, is about 4 years, according to an analyst named Horace Dedieu. The average lifespan of Apple devices, and that's everything from iPhones to full-on iMacs, and that's about right for the PC world. But,
well, people
now, we stretch that a bit ourselves.
Part of it is how often do you use it? What kind of treatment does it get? It's like anything else. But in terms of this person's analysis or whatever, that makes sense. I mean, that those might be based on real numbers, so your mileage may vary.
Right. Apple CEO Tim Cook revealed that, according to their numbers, the total number of active Apple devices is about 1.3 billion devices worldwide. Now, total sales are just shy of 2.1 billion. And then you figure the number that have retired, outlived their usefulness, broken, and, you know, essentially been scrapped. you come up with just a little over, right around 1.3 billion current active devices, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, we, if you know what you, now, we have squeezed a little extra life. Now, Brenda has a iPad that she bequeathed to her brother. Not bequeathed. That would imply there was no more Brenda, that she passed on to her brother. He's still getting some use out of it. It's an iPad generation 2, a little bit on the slow side, but it's still working.
By today's standards, yeah.
It's still working.
Yep, indeed. And then I got your cast-off Samsung tablet, mm-hmm. and its battery is veracity.
Yeah, a mobile device, that's usually what takes them out is when the battery starts to go.
Yeah, it'll be okay if you have it plugged in all the time or whatever, or you don't use it for a period of time and it's just sitting there idle, it will hold a charge. You know, it doesn't use much power, but as soon as you go to do anything, so an average evening for me on that tablet, and I don't do a lot of web surfing or what have you, I might check in Facebook, check some email, go on the web, that sort of thing, just kind of average everyday stuff will wipe out half that battery in a matter of 2 hours.
Yeah.
It just does not hold a charge anymore.
And laptops do the same thing.
Oh, sure.
After about 3 to 4 years,
which
the battery is
me,
completely shot.
Need to replace the battery in my laptop.
However, since one of the reasons I hung on to that MacBook Pro 2012 is that you can replace the battery in the hard drive and, in my case, the memory, so that I can extend a little more life out of it, which, of course, the manufacturer would rather that I plunk down the $1,800 for a new one.
Oh, yeah. And it's always $1,800, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? You want to buy a good computer and you wait for the price of it to drop and it doesn't, because the latest, greatest thing is always about $1,200 or $1,500. It used to be for laptops and or desktops or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tablets,
Apple still owns the market. They define the market. They still own the market.
Yes. And this article is from iPad Insight, posted here on the Flipboard page. This is, you know, kind of interesting. According to this article, Amazon has overtaken Samsung for second place in the tablet market in late 2017. And I can't say as I'm terribly surprised about that, because as we've said many times on this show, our run-and-gun, travel-light, kind of do-all-end-all tablet is our Kindle Fires.
And if you drop it and it gets run over, first of all, it's completely backed up in the cloud.
Right.
Second of all, another one is $59 or $79. It's
cheaper than we paid for ours, for sure.
Yeah, our first, we bought, and we're still using those Amazon Fires from four or five years ago.
Mostly I use mine as an e-reader, but I do, when I have traveled, that's the one I've taken and used as my web surfer. You know, really, at the cost of them now, if you happen to lose it or drop it and it breaks or whatever, you don't really cry too hard.
Yeah.
It's not an $800 or $900 iPad.
Yeah, my iPad Pro is sort of a computer substitute, whereas my Fire tablet is a media consumption device.
Pretty much.
Completely different purposes.
Oh, definitely.
I can use the Pro
to do
consume media.
Right.
But it's a bit ungangly to do things and try to. Now, for magazines, it's really good if you have the Texture app.
Yeah, because it has a big screen.
Yeah, it has a nice big screen. I have a comic app that I really enjoy called Comixology, which is a fun app where you can pick up a lot of classic comics as well as some new stuff. But when it comes just to day-to-day reading, hard to beat that Kindle Fire. But Apple still currently holds the top of the heap when it comes to these devices.
Well, this is an interesting article because it says that the tablet market as a whole is struggling, probably because the market may be somewhat saturated.
Right.
Amazon and Huawei, which is a Chinese company, and it's not spelled like it sounds, no one else is growing, although Apple does continue to hold on, and it is growing a little bit, 3% year over year. But, of course, they have high-end hardware and prices to match, so they probably have a pretty good profit from that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't think that the market not growing doesn't mean there isn't a market.
All right.
It just says that, you know, it's kind of reached some steady state of mm-hmm. of existence. It's not that people aren't buying tablets. And the probably some of what's going on is you're getting into like your iPad Pro, where people are shifting over to a more versatile device that mm-hmm. way could be.
So let's take a look at what some of the latest deals are on Kindles. The Kindle Paperwhite, if all you want to do is read your books, this is the best portable screen for book reading as the Amazon. In fact, Brenda's first Kindle was an early model Paperwhite that she just used the living daylights out of, and it was a tiny thing. It only had a 6-inch screen. It was distressingly slow, but when you're reading a book, you don't need a super fast processor.
No, you don't. Although, one thing that I...
Page refresh was probably a little sloppy.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. You know, I still have it somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, quite frankly. I'm sure the battery is completely dead. It's not
most
only...
sincerely.
That's right. Not just a little dead. It's most sincerely
dead. Your friend
dead.
Is only mostly dead, yeah.
So, there's...
Yeah, the Paperwhite you can get for $99.
Yep.
Which it was originally $149.
And they call it the Paperwhite because it has a white screen with dark lettering on it, which is what I prefer. I like that kind of contrast.
Good high resolution.
As opposed to having a dark screen with lighter colored letters on it.
It looks like
a book.
Print on page.
Yeah, it does.
The Amazon Kindle basic unit, 2016 model, can be found for around $83. The Kindle Voyage, which I don't know a lot about the Voyage, but I think this is their high-end Kindle with extra battery life, extra storage capability.
A little bit bigger size,
bigger size. That's about $200, which is getting up into Samsung territory.
Right.
And the Oasis, which is there, I think the Oasis has actually 4G connectivity.
I was going to say, yeah. I'll bet this is essentially the Voyage with connectivity
right.
for sure.
But if you just need a good basic tablet, I still say if you get the Fire 7 or the HD 8, yeah, you can keep it under $100.
And the Fire 7 well under $100, under $50 yeah. for the Amazon Fire 7 on eBay.
Yeah.
So
if you want to dip your toe into the tablets.
Right, or you're just looking
this is the way to go.
For one that you can use and abuse, if you will, and not feel too bad about it if it breaks or something on that of that nature, then it's a good deal.
Yep. So do your shopping and take a look around and see what when people say, well, what tablet should I get Uncle Joe? Well, what's he going to use it for?
Mm-hmm.
Is the big question.
You know, if it's just social media and surfing the web and that sort of thing, it's the perfect thing for tablets. And, you know, given their physical limitations, too, how well do their fingers work or how good are their eyes? That might be something to think about with screen size as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make your eyes roll now.
Oh, okay.
And you will love this. For people who simply can't be separated from their device, even for the amount of time it takes to get a shower.
Oh, dear.
We present to you the pocketed conductive curtain liner that lets you use your tablet or phone while showering.
The
conductive shower.
We don't want to go there.
Yes, the conductive shower curtain has pockets on the outside in different sizes and heights, allows you to have these devices placed at convenient heights so that as you scrub, you can either entertain yourself.
We're not going to go there either. Oh, my gosh.
Or conduct business. And if you go on the Boomer Tech Radio site, boomertechradio.com, on the Flipboard magazine, there are several, by God, they are suggestive photos of
yes,
a young
they
lady
are.
In the shower interacting with her tablet. Netflix in the shower, Hulu in the shower, games in the shower, Skype in the shower.
Well, I am sure it's been done.
FaceTime in the shower.
The like, yes.
Yes.
Skype, FaceTime, what difference does it make? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I love the pictures, though.
It's great. Somebody probably got funding for this.
Yeah, this sounds like a GoFundMe gone terribly wrong.
I don't know. Did it make it to Shark Tank or not?
Oh, dear me. So if you just cannot bear to be away from your tablet for any period of time, there is hope.
Whew.
So what do you do with that old tablet, with your dead tablet, with your tablet that no longer plays nice? Well,
you can recycle it.
You can recycle it. You can pawn it off on a relative who is in need of a cheap tablet, which is what I did with one of mine. Or you can actually turn an old tablet into a universal smart home remote. You know, if you don't necessarily have a ecosystem for Alexa, there's a company called Yeti. And
they're not the ice chest makers, right?
Not the ice chest makers. Yeti helps you turn an old tablet or phone into a home controller. Now, I got to tell you, pardon me, I'm coming down with a congestion here. I installed touchscreen control systems in high-end homes back in the 1990s. These average installations were $30,000-$40,000 when it was all said and done, because it required complex programming, miles of wire, very expensive hardware that was a couple of thousand dollars for one of these monochrome electroluminescent touchscreens. And then you had relays. You had to have a technician install the thing. Very expensive. And people of means would get these automation systems to simplify their lives and show off. Let's face it. It was kind of nice to be able to touch one button and have the stereo come on, the TV come on, set the channel, et cetera, et cetera. Home theaters. This was the big home theater thing, when you had basically little mini theaters inside, well, rich people's homes.
Yeah.
And that was, the 90s version of the man cave sort of thing. Well, you can do this now on a shoestring budget. You can use an older model tablet, or just pick up a cheap one, as long as it's fairly capable. There's a app called Yeti. And have the controller, and then Yeti will actually speak to several different devices. In the case of the author of this article on the Yeti blog, and we have a link to it on our BoomerTech Radio magazine, Philips Hue lights, Sonos speakers, Yi light, and it speaks all these various languages. I don't know if it speaks Echo Bee. But apparently it supports a wide range of devices that all link through your internet, and you can customize your house with creating, let's say you want to have different lights come on at certain hours. Now, if you just have a single light timer, that's one thing. But if you want to give your home that lived-in look while you're away, you can actually cycle the lights in the house, different patterns on different days. TV comes on for a time. Yeah. The music comes on for a time.
This used to be really expensive.
Yeah, it used to cost a fortune to do this.
Yeah, and now just think, your cast-off tablet can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how hackable all of this is. I think it's as hackable as your modem would be, or your device type of thing. But, if you have proper firewalls set up, that's good. And that's what makes it work.
So this is if you look up Yeti, Y-E-T-I, smart home, and maybe it'll give you the chance to kind of dive into learning how to do home automation on an extreme budget.
This would be a good one for Make Magazine,
exactly.
Do-it-yourself type of project. And your average 8-year-old could probably do it in 10 minutes.
But for the maker in us, this is another thing to play with. Another hour of BoomerTech Radio comes up right after the top of the hour news.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done.
Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road, call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
From townhall.com, I'm Ron DeRostra. After a busy week, the Billy Graham Library reopens to the public on Wednesday.
Friday's funeral and burial of Billy Graham capped 10 days of activity involving his namesake library here in Charlotte. During the days of public visitation for the late evangelist and the services on Friday, the Graham Library has been closed to the public. The famed preacher was buried here on the library grounds next to his wife. A spokesman says the facility will reopen on Wednesday now that the events commemorating Graham's life and ministry are over. Greg Clugston at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte.
People along the northeast coast braced for more flooding today during high tides, even as the powerful storm that inundated roads and snapped trees and knocked out power to more than 2 million homes and businesses moved hundreds of miles out to sea. In Hamlin, Pennsylvania, snowplow driver David Lee told WNEP that the condition in northeast Pennsylvania was worse than a blizzard.
This rain we had, now it's slush and ice underneath.
Drivers who tried to take side roads found out that was a mistake.
We tried to go the back way since 380 was closed, and the roads were really bad. I kind of peeled off on the side, got stuck for about an hour.
Ohio and upstate New York got a foot or more of snow. Areas from Maryland to Maine remained under flood warnings. Officials in eastern Massachusetts, where dozens of people were rescued from high waters overnight, warned of another round of flooding during this afternoon. A court hearing is scheduled for Monday for an Arizona man accused of providing armor-piercing ammunition to the gunman in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. A hearing in Phoenix is expected to focus on conditions imposed on Douglas Haig as part of his release from custody. Haig was charged in February with conspiring to make and sell armor-piercing ammunition and some of the shells that were found in Las Vegas after the attack on October the 1st had Haig's fingerprints on them. News and analysis at townhall.com.
You know, you can get tremendous pain relief benefits with Relief Factor without any of the negative side effects of ibuprofen. Why? Because this is natural, healthy stuff. There are no side effects. There's no prescription drugs. There's no chemicals. Just good, healthy dietary supplements that unleash your own body's natural healing powers. 80% of people who start with a quick start, just $19.95 for 3 whole weeks, end up getting more Relief Factor. You should give it a try. Again, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to relieffactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll-free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll-free. 1-800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
What was a temporary reduction in staff at the U.S. Embassy in Havana will become permanent.
The State Department ordered the withdrawal of non-essential embassy personnel in Havana last October. The withdrawal of 60% of U.S. diplomats from Cuba came in response to a series of mysterious health attacks that left U.S. personnel in Havana with unexplained illnesses. At least 24 Americans were harmed, with symptoms including memory problems, impaired concentration, irritability, balance problems, and dizziness. By law, Sunday was the deadline for either sending them back or making the reductions permanent. Mike Gracia, Washington.
NASA's launched another one of the world's most advanced weather satellites, this time to safeguard the western U.S. GOES-S is the second satellite that's already revolutionizing forecasting. The GOES-16 was the first. It's been monitoring the Atlantic coast and east coast for the past year. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Ford Motor Company making Dade County's biggest testbed yet for self-driving vehicles. Ford isn't the first automaker to run the autonomous test fleets, but the partnership with a specific metropolitan area is less common. Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez says the area wants to be at the forefront of new technology. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back. Boomer Tech Radio. This is our second hour of the show with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. The tech news you can use, brought to you in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. By the way, that snazzy theme music you're listening to is courtesy of a man named George Wood. He's a composer out of England. The song's called 8-Bit Junkie. We got it off the PodSafe Music Network, and we are using it, unlike some people do, by permission.
And we are, in case folks didn't hear the other hour of Boomer Tech Radio.
Oh, yes. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
If you are just joining us, and this is your very first time.
Yeah.
So, got a bunch of stories for this hour. By the way, you want to write us, boomertechradio@gmail.com. Log on to our website, boomertechradio.com. You can download past episodes, leave comments. And there's a number of ways to contact you. You can also subscribe to our podcast right there at boomertechradio.com. So, Brenda, you tax time.
Oh, yeah, there's that,
tax
right?
Time.
So, I don't know how it is in other people's workplaces, but most of us get inundated with emails. That you don't even have to be in a workplace to get inundated with emails. But in this particular case, this one is agency. Provided one, and it's the only one that I actually read all the time because I learn the darndest things in there, and I find out the little tips and tricks and things like that. And of course, it's a lot of it, because it has to do with IT, is kind of relevant to our show, and a couple of things showed up. Now, it's everybody's so favorite time of the year, tax time. And what is it they say? You only have to do two things in life?
Right.
Yeah, pay taxes and croak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thieves are inevitably massively creative in trying to get money out of you, and tax season is just another way.
Oh, they want to file your income tax
exactly,
for you and get your money.
Exactly. So there's really not a lot of new scams this year, but there is one, an old one, with a new twist. And the goal of these people is to get a hold of your what they call PII, personally identifiable information, and they commit fraud. They file a false tax return and a fraudulent tax return. You get the return, and what they used to do is have the tax return sent to them or some bogus account.
Remember, was it a couple of years ago we reported the story where 400 and some tax return checks were sent to an address
the
in
same
Kazakhstan.
Place. Yeah, exactly. To the same place.
Really?
And why can't the system identify
that?
Well, apparently there's maybe been some fixes to that, because now the thieves, and I'm, that's speculation, but now what the thieves do is that they go ahead and send the, if they have the information, they go ahead and send the return to your account. Okay, so they've already stolen your information. They filed a fake tax return in your name, and then they send the money to your account, and then they'll call you up masquerading as the IRS or somebody or another and saying, demanding that you give the false tax return back to them. So that they try to get you to write the check to give them the money or what have you. And
right, because you'll suddenly see a bunch of money appear.
Right, and it'll probably say, you know, U.S. government IRS on it, right? So they call you up and they threaten you. This is the same twist that they've been doing now, the other extension of where
you have penalties.
You have penalties, and you could go to court, and, you know, there'll be indictment.
The
you know,
any
yeah,
second, yeah,
exactly. You know, be afraid, be very afraid. If you don't give us money, and give us money right now.
Never fall for these.
Exactly. Please. And they may even ask you to give it via credit card, which is even more insane. So. The IRS, just like Microsoft isn't going to, the IRS is never going to call you and let you and tell you there's a problem. That is not how the IRS does business. They will mail something to you.
For this very reason.
Exactly. They do not call. So if you get any calls, says, I'm from the IRS and I'm here to help you.
Laugh and hang
exactly. Laugh and say, you should be ashamed of yourself for bilking people out of their hard-earned money. Now go away.
Yeah.
And a lot of times...
But these people are really good.
They are very good. And they will try to keep you on the phone and wear you down. And you just need one word for these people. No.
Yeah.
Three words. No and goodbye.
Yeah.
So this is definitely a problem. If you have a family member that doesn't file their own taxes, that they get help from other family members or maybe a tax service or what have you, you need to warn them that, you know, these thieves might try doing that kind of thing anyway. So it's really interesting that one of the ways to protect yourself from this is file as soon as possible, which helps protect against tax scams.
Right.
Because you can get your...
The window of opportunity closes.
Right.
When they see the second return come in. With an IP address that checks back to some place in Outer Mongolia.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
So what happens if you become a victim of this and you get this money, you know? Do you get to keep it? Well, no. You're going to have to give it back. But if you suspect that you're a victim of this con and this fraudulent activity, then you need to contact the IRS.
Right.
And there are online guidelines about how to return the money. But you also need to report the event to them and let them help you, you know, record the fact that this was bogus and that sort of thing. And a message from the government, a useful one in this case, is that the IRS will never, never discuss personal tax issues through unsolicited emails, texts, social media, phone calls, etc. And so it's always be wary. I think always
be vigilant.
Be vigilant. But if you're contacted by someone claiming to be from the IRS and says that you owe money, like Bob says, laugh and hang up. That's just definitely not very good. And speaking of identity theft and those kinds of things, it turns out that the Equifax breach may be worse than was thought.
This is becoming like Yahoo's login.
Yeah, it just goes.
It goes on and on,
right? So last year, I think it was finally the Equifax. I should say it was last year that Equifax, sometime
fessed
4 months
up.
After the fact, something like that, fessed up that they had a breach in data that 145 million. Consumers, over 145 million consumers were affected by this. And in some cases, the hackers were able to steal credit card numbers, social security numbers, driver's license information. And that's all got, you know, like your address, your social security number.
Mm-hmm.
So they can pose as you. They can, open accounts and do things like that. Well, Equifax announced this week that an ongoing analysis of data, is how they put it, revealed that about 2.4 million more customers may have had at least partial license.
Moderate size C.
Yeah, exactly. 2.4 million more people may have been affected. And they may have only gotten partial information, but it's like, wow.
And the thing is, you don't sign up for these things.
Nope.
You're just there.
Yeah, you have no control that your data is in these people's hands. That's what really annoys me when I had identity theft a number of years ago. Why?
You didn't sign up for
it. I didn't sign up for it. I didn't authorize these people to be the
guardians,
the keeper of the information. I didn't say that was okay or give permission. And by the way, if you want your personal information from them, in some states,
you have to pay
for it. There are many states now that require these outfits to give you a free credit report once a year. Being in California, that is one of the pro-consumer states out there, so that's there. But holy moly, and I don't know if they actually notify the people that they found. Mm. I mean, that's crazy. So, you know, now it's up to more than 145.5 million people. They have to add that up a little bit more.
Jeez.
It's crazy. I don't know, you know. And then if you do have a breach in your identity theft, it's hard to clear it sometimes.
As you discovered. Yeah.
I was lucky.
You couldn't take countermeasures until you'd already been
exactly.
hit.
You can't take you if you want to protect your information from folks looking in and doing credit reports, and that's all that is, you pay them a fee. It's like, wait a minute, I should opt in, not out, have to pay to opt out.
Yeah.
But they get in there and get these records. So, you know, my attitude's kind of that you should, don't be afraid, very afraid, but do everything you can to protect your stuff. And you have to be vigilant because you're not in control of this data, then you have to be very vigilant about your accounts and all sorts of things like that to make sure that no one has stolen your identity and is using it for nefarious purposes.
It used to be, it may still be the case, too many inquiries on your records resulted in your score going down.
Oh, I believe that's still true.
But
that's a stupid thing. What if you're buying a house or buying a car? Shopping around for credit cards or whatever. It doesn't matter. Let's say you're buying a house and you're working with a number of lending institutions and they're all going to check your credit rating. And I think it's only like 3 or something and it drops your credit score. That's nonsense.
Yeah, that something's terribly wrong.
It should be by maybe different employers are checking, doing a credit check or something like that. I could see a lot of activity in that arena possibly justifying it. But really, when you're trying to borrow money, come on.
Yeah.
That's insane. You know, it doesn't allow you to shop around and do anything without paying a penalty in your credit score, which you have no control over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange system.
Yep. All righty. Well, thank you, Brenda. Hey, if you have a Samsung Galaxy S8, now it doesn't say anything about the Note 8. I would be curious to know if it's also on the list. Samsung is starting to push out the Oreo update to the Android operating systems over a year after the, almost a year. Well, no, wait a minute. It came out when the eclipse happened. That's right. That's when the Oreo update was released into the wild. It's just now getting around to the Galaxy phones.
We did have an update recently.
Yeah. Well, we got an update on Nougat.
Oh, okay. That's right. Oreo's kind of been held back.
Yeah, Oreo's. And the trouble is these updates, unlike Apple, when Apple pushes out an update, every device gets the Apple update as soon as it comes out, for good or bad. However, because of all the players involved in Android's operating system, it has to filter not only through your carrier, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, they each have their own little add-ons, but your device maker, Samsung, KC, LG, Kyocera, whoever, they get to put their little tweaks on it. So it may take several months for an update to the next level operating system to trickle down to the end user. Now, a few of the things that Oreo is going to send in. Background services limited to improve performance and battery life. Running apps will be shown in your notification panel. You can touch and hold an app to display common or recommended tasks within the app. It's improvements to the Edge screen, which I haven't made much use of. If you have a an S8 or a Note 8, you can actually have additional information pop up on a panel by swiping in from the Edge, which I haven't really made a lot of use of.
Yeah, I haven't plugged into that yet myself. You know, these things, these devices are fairly complex, and multitasking on them sometimes is just too much, especially since they're kind of small.
New clock style for the lock screen and always-on display. And good, because I would like something besides the stupid over and under display.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Where it gets, you know, 14.
Hour on the top.
Yeah, and then the minutes down below.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you... I would like to see some other option for that. Maybe an analog clock face for us really old fogies. That
yeah.
would be nice.
Well, it's kind of antique and retro. That's kind of cool.
Very, very retro.
They keep it minimal usually because it uses less power if it doesn't have a lot of color and fancy stuff in it. But I like this Samsung Dual Messenger. It allows you to install a second copy of a messaging app so you can use two accounts at the same time.
A lot of us have a work messenger personal messenger.
Yes, yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's like having text messages with three or four people at a time. You got to make sure that you're in the right app before you send something.
Right.
Who hasn't sent a message to somebody that they didn't intend to send it to? And you better just hope it's not terribly embarrassing or risque.
Yeah.
Or inappropriate.
Find My Mobile, which I need to install on my Note 8.
That's probably a good idea. But we don't travel much. Like, you know, if I was traveling
business
a lot for business.
Travelers who are prone to losing their phones.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, or there's much more opportunity to lose your phone or have it swiped. So if you have that, you're working in that kind of environment, that could be handy. Or you just kind of, you know, forget things or whatever, that could be a very handy one. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we'll see if it gets pushed out to the Note 8. I certainly hope it does because...
It should.
It looks like Oreo is going to have some nice features. And a lot of some LG phones already have it. I don't know if, like, Galaxy S7 phones will be getting the Oreo update. I think so, but they may have to wait a bit longer. Now, we have talked previously about how technology is helping people who are impaired in various ways.
Assistive technologies, yes.
Assistive technologies. Now, here's a pretty cool setup. Microsoft has launched Soundscape, which is not a music program. It is an iOS app that gives people who are blind or visually impaired greater awareness of their surrounding by using 3D cues. Now, this isn't going to replace the guide dog or cane. It's about enriching people's perception of their surrounding. While the guide dog will let you know if there's a car there or the light, it's safe to cross the traffic, things like that.
Right.
Soundscape will actually be, to the extent that you want, giving you audible cues that you are now at 2nd Street, you are headed north.
Or
for a blind person, that's important.
Right. There's a mini market around the corner or something like that, where the visually blessed can see that and analyze that and know that. If you have visual impairment, you wouldn't necessarily know that data, but it doesn't mean that it isn't of interest.
Mm-hmm. The app offers three modes. Locate tells you where you are. Around me calls out four points of interest around you. And ahead of me provides the names of five landmarks ahead of you. Now that is...
Yeah, and these don't have to be historical landmarks. It might be a crossroads. It might be a Macy's store. It might be just a restaurant or something.
Now, Microsoft has been fiddling around with this since 2014. Windows Phone handsets were going to be the application. Of course, nobody sees when the Windows Phone no longer exists. And the idea here was rather than having headsets, earbuds in your ear or a headset over your head,
it was going to use
bone conduction. Well, bone conduction is a little iffy at best.
Yeah. There's some opportunity for misinterpretation.
Right. So most earbuds, you can still hear what's going on around you, and that's going to improve. And we're probably seeing for people, there's some technology for some very thin film speakers that literally are like a tattoo on your ear and will pick up sound and transmit it into your ear canal so only you can hear, which is kind of cool stuff. You notice the this is a show not for everybody. There's a show on Netflix called Altered Carbon, which
yes.
is sort of Blade Runner-esque. But some of the technology that is displayed in the show is stuff that is being worked on right now. For instance, mm-hmm. a lot of the people have a heads-up display on their contact lens.
Mm-hmm.
And it recharges apparently from body heat. And it gives you a real-time display of your surroundings and what's around you. This show is set hundreds of years in the future. We're going to see that in 20 years or less.
They have flying cars.
They have the flying cars. Which is what really keys it into a Blade Runner type.
I think one of the most interesting characters in the show, by the way, is the hotel.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. A full AI, artificial intelligence hotel.
Right. But what's interesting is if you need information, it goes out on what amounts to the web.
Yeah.
And does research for you about this and that and where things are and how it is. And it finds out very interesting things. But,
yeah.
But it's unusual, I think, in a show to have a building be a character.
Right. Now, the show is not for everyone. It is certainly not a family-friendly show.
No. Definitely not.
A fair amount of violence and more than a little bit of
skin.
I wouldn't say it's gratuitous sex, but it is very adult things.
Well, or just a lot of skin.
A lot of skin. So if that bothers you or you'd rather not have the kids be around that, then that's not the show for you. But... The plot line can be a little difficult, but the visuals are just amazing.
Yeah, they are. The plot line gets a little sluggish in some spots. But
yeah,
you can still
fall off on various rabbit trails.
Yeah, or they get into too much detail or something.
Right,
but it's
right.
Okay. You can at least follow the gist of and the main core of what's going on. And it's a very interesting social commentary as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Has a lot of very tough social questions.
Yeah,
well.
Deals with some interesting issues.
The
implication being that if you're that far in the future, humanity still has its problems.
Yes, and that's the subtext of any science fiction.
Yeah, unchanging problems.
The gadgets change, but people are the same, and that's the essence of good science fiction is how people react in those unique environments.
So speaking of people with impairments.
Exactly where I was going next.
Yeah, the one of the things about being, well, assistive technologies can help folks stay in their homes, living independently with assistive technology than perhaps having to move in with family or being sent to some kind of a care home or something like that. Maybe they just need reminders of when to take medications or what have you. And not the least of which is what happens when they quit driving. That, in this country, that is, some environments, that is a huge loss of independence and spontaneity or being able to do things, on some schedule. Well, Uber has been making inroads into the...
Medical
transportation business. Yeah, I found this really interesting.
The digital tool is meant to book rides for patients who need assistance getting to and from their appointments. A healthcare provider can book the ride for their patients and caregivers immediately within the next few hours at a specific time or with up to 30 days notice ahead. The company is positioning itself as a cheaper and more reliable option than most non-emergency medical transportation. Uber Health is what it's called. It's an online dashboard. Also, is an application programming interface for software developers to integrate ride-hailing capabilities into their own healthcare tools.
According to this article, non-medical emergency medical transportation, such as, grandma needs to go to the doctor or follow-up appointment or something like that, is more than a $3 billion a year industry. And I think even in small towns, you see sometimes medical transport folks.
We're going to be right back after these messages. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda, the tech news you can use.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello, this is Lance Beck, president of North State Security. As we celebrate our 50th year of serving the Northern California region, North State Security would like to give something back to our community. During the year 2018, our 50th, in the sorrowful event your family were to lose a loved one, North State Security offers to provide a state-licensed uniformed security officer at no cost to protect your residents during the celebration of life or funeral to offer further peace of mind. Knowing thieves prey upon homes left vulnerable during these mournful times, allow us the honor to help you grieve with one less detail to be concerned about. Call us, North State Security, at 243-0295. While utilizing the service of North State Security, we handle a myriad of different responsibilities, from nightly patrol service. We do special responses where you call us and we can respond to your immediate need. We can be there in an average of 10 minutes. Once again, that's North State Security at 243-0295.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit ConsciousLivingYoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work.
something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And we're back. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This is tech news that we certainly hope you could use. Heard every week right here on KCNR 1460 and throughout the known universe. The World Wide Web, podcasting on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Visit the website, BoomerTechRadio.com, for back episodes and show notes. Also send us email at BoomerTechRadio.com. So before the break, we were talking about Uber's next foray
into the transportation world, medical transportation, which is a pretty... big lifesaver for some people. I use lifesaver not in the literal sense, but at least it allows them perhaps
quality
to be in
a... Yeah, it's a transportation market worth more than $3 billion.
That's amazing. So what's really interesting about this, though, is booking your ride and this and that and some aspect of this. I don't quite understand why this is a problem for Uber Health. They have found a way, because they will have to, or they have to be compliant with healthcare rules on data privacy, mm-hmm. which is known as HIPAA, or the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that form you sign and don't pay any attention to at the doctor's office. But when Uber designed this, they actually built in HIPAA-compliant features into their system. Of course, that doesn't mean that takes care or takes rid of all of the risk associated with this. But, you know, your hospital records aren't safe either. I mean, the medical profession has had some serious breaches of that sort of thing. So I don't know if this is any worse than anything else from that capacity.
Right. Now, they got in trouble because they have been sued because most of their vehicles are not wheelchair compliant.
Yeah, that was the other aspect of it.
And if you have a vehicle that is, if you were to have a vehicle that is wheelchair compliant, does the driver then become a responsible person?
Right.
Should something malfunction? Should the person fall out of their chair? Should the person become ill in the car? What is the driver's responsibility? Let us suppose that the person has something contagious.
So this says that if you're going to provide this, that you have to have that in, what, every vehicle? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Having some vehicles that are capable of doing that, absolutely, that would be... a smart, but does every vehicle have to be like that? Well, that would be like, to me, that would be like making sure that every car manufacturer makes all of their vehicles wheelchair accessible.
Right.
It would be the same thing.
It's not practical. Right.
Exactly. So
lawyers don't care about practical.
I know. It's silly, but it might help. Uber sees a need, and there is something on the order of 3.6 million Americans a year that miss their health appointments because they don't have adequate transportation.
Yeah. An average of 3.6 million Americans miss health care appointments because of unreliable transportation. We know of an individual, a friend of ours, who went through this.
Yeah.
And the misunderstanding was that the driver arrived early and our friend was not yet ready.
And they said, you come now or you don't come. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Which is not a thing you would say to this person.
And well, no, but not only that, that's crazy. That's what if the person had, you know, another appointment or something like that? Or somebody was coming to the house, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You do it on our terms or you don't do it at all? Not when there's an appointment deal. That's like telling the school bus, you better come early and pick up my kids because, you know, I need you to. The school bus has a schedule. You kind of got to go with that. It's a little bit in reverse, but mm-hmm. still.
So how many people have signed up for Uber and Lyft, thinking they're just going to augment their income and or maybe be able to make a whole career out of it?
Yeah, we've talked to a few people about this.
The majority of the drivers,
Uber folks,
actually end up making less, far less than the minimum wage. By the time you pay for your insurance, your gas, your car payment, you got to eat at some point. And the rates at which Uber charges, by the time you get your share, the median hourly wage, $3.37 an hour. And that's what the market will sustain.
Which is less than half of minimum wage.
Right.
That's about a third of minimum wage in some places.
And, of course, the findings have raised fresh concerns about labor standards in the gig economy. These companies are facing scrutiny over their treatment of drivers because they are independent contractors and they don't have any rights or protections.
Well, not only that, there's a whole different tax structure. If you're an independent contractor, the employer, the contractee, doesn't have to pay certain taxes like Social Security and withholding, income tax withholding, and things like that.
Yeah.
They're not responsible for that.
Drivers are paid about 59 cents a mile, and the average cost of their vehicle works out to about 30 cents a mile.
Yeah, that's got pretty good overhead there.
For nearly a third of the drivers, costs are definitely higher than revenue. Average driver profit is $661 a month.
Do you remember the car rental company Rent-A-Rec?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, you could get some real choice vehicles. I think I would have been inclined to do Rent-A-Wreck because just to see what rig you get, right?
Yeah.
I know some college kids that did that because they were driven by price, and they had a couple of them had breakdowns and that sort of thing. But maybe that's the kind of thing Uber drivers should do is have these nice retro vehicles because they're paid for. They're cheap to buy, right? That's not what people expect to ride around in these days. I just think it'd be funny.
Harry Campbell, who's founder of the Rideshare Guy, that's a website that conducts surveys of drivers, said $3.37 sounds a bit low in terms of profit, but he noted that new drivers are often surprised by how much less they make because they have listened to those ads, those very slickly produced, be your own boss, make extra money in your spare time, turn your spare time into cash. It's just not very much cash. Now, for some people, the Uber would actually lease the car to the driver and then charge back, which means the person makes even less money because they're also making a car payment on top of the cut that Uber gets. And essentially, the writer of the research paper says he doesn't see this as a sustainable model. What these companies are doing, of course, is trying to position themselves until they don't have to pay drivers anymore.
Right.
In other words, automated vehicles.
Yep. I think that's...
And that's going to work in the urban areas.
How's that going to work with a ADA-compliant type of vehicle if the person needs some physical assistance? So you're going to have the Johnny Cab driver that you know, it's just the head, and then you'll have the, you know, the...
What could possibly go wrong?
The helper robot that gets out and helps the individual. I don't know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. It'll be really interesting to see these things, although, I don't know. I would like to think I have, like, 30 more years of life left to be able to see what happens with these things.
Yeah. Facebook has announced a new Women in Gaming initiative. Now, the gaming world is a tough frontier. Now, we know some gamer girls, but it's tough. It is a very male-dominated industry, video gaming. And it's tough for women to break into it. They face stereotypes and prejudices that hold them back, just like every industry, and Brenda can certainly speak to this. But, of course, because of the nature of the online world, some of them who dare to speak up or speak out have become the target of online threats. And a lot of young women who would otherwise be very promising game designers and coders and, doing the artwork and stuff like that, they say, it's not worth it to me to get into this stuff. So what would you say to them?
I think the problem is not getting women in gaming, quite frankly. It's that women and men, you know, have different interests. So I understand them trying to get women into gaming, or the women that are in gaming making connections with other women in gaming. But I think it, overall, trying to get more women into gaming is maybe not going to work so well.
As designers and programmers.
Oh, as designers and programmers, what you have to do is just persevere. You just have to get wade in there and not be bothered by the naysayers and the people that try to trip you up and whatever. But you
Which
do,
is what you experienced when you
absolutely
when your career
what,
started.
What you end up is you're forced into becoming very good at what you do, for one thing, which is not a bad thing. Although maybe there's a link there that the ones that are good at it, what they do and are good at it, don't give up because they're passionate about it. And if this is truly a passion for you, then go for it. And I think that the flip side of this from an industry perspective is that they are idiots not to include women.
Exactly. Because
I recently read an article about a woman that was a staff writer on a television series. And she was kind of out of place at first. And then she found herself speaking up and saying, no. No woman's going to say that or do that that way.
Oh, yeah,
and that
yeah.
kind of thing. And so the whole thing that women can bring to this is a different perspective that, if anything, makes this world more realistic.
Right.
And within people's experiences. Because we as humans, we change so slowly compared to technology that some things just don't change very quickly.
Yeah.
Socially or certainly physiologically, they don't. And then the way our brains are wired to work as humans. So, if that's where you want to go, go for it. But
yeah.
I think.
But don't discourage a girl who wants to get into tech, basically.
No, definitely not.
We've met
not.
Some amazing young
oh,
women
absolutely.
Getting into technology.
The thing, you know, it used to be that in a vocational education type thing, if you wanted to be an auto mechanic or you wanted to be a construction worker or you wanted to be this or that, physically it could be very demanding, and so perhaps that wasn't for every woman, or women were discouraged from doing it because of that. And certainly there are very strong women out there, and there are very weak men physically. So, you know, where do you go with that? I'm not saying that women are inferior that way at all, because not all women are. But there's just these things, right? But now, if you're operating heavy machinery, it's more about finesse than ever before. And it doesn't take as much physicality to do it, although it is mentally challenging. So it's not so much pulling levers and pushing pedals and things like that. It's about how to get the machine to do what you want it to do and finessing it. So things have changed to where, it's not about physical might. It's more about design and cleverness and, ability that way. And programming is one of those things, which is what gaming is all about. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It's all about your talents.
Very good. So it's a miracle that Brenda and I actually met. Want to know why? Because I didn't know how to take a selfie picture.
Oh, my God.
Now, granted, this was 2003, 2004. I was using a flip phone with a really crappy camera.
And you wore bifocals.
I wore bifocals, so I had to hold it at an odd angle.
You end up looking through the bottom of your glasses to have the screen in focus while you're holding it up.
So the selfie up the nose shot.
Yes. Now, you have to qualify Bob's remark. One of the things that kept me from contacting him for a while in terms of a picture is because it was this really crazy picture. And I'm like, what is up with this picture? Well, I didn't know anything about selfies at the time. And once I learned about that, it's like, that's why your picture looked like it did.
Holding the camera, you know,
yes.
And it's a really crappy camera. Well,
everybody had the same thing.
Yeah. Selfies, it has been discovered, and this is anybody who knows anything about optics will go, well, yeah.
Do
selfies
indeed.
Selfies do, in fact, make your nose look bigger. The distortion has actually caused some people to go seek plastic surgery.
Oh, dear me.
Because
that is just so
it's like, does this camera make my nose look, does this make dress make my butt look big?
Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. Oh, my God.
Your nose looks 30% bigger than it would look to another person.
Yeah, because of where your focal nose, the focal length and the distortions in the lenses in these cell phones. So if you look at anybody's Facebook selfies, there is a common pose theme. A lot of times you're looking up. You know, it's just, it's kind of like, nobody looks like that.
The Journal of Facial Plastic Surgery has an article titled Nasal Distortion in Short Distance Photographs, The Selfie Effect. Somebody no doubt got paid.
Oh, they made a PhD off of this, probably.
Yeah.
I shouldn't laugh because this is serious business for some folks, or they take it very seriously.
These distorted self-portraits are leading people to request nose jobs so their selfies look better.
That is the sound of my eyes rolling. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just a little bit too
narcissistic. Can you possibly be any more freaking shallow than that?
Narcissistic.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's just too much. Well, you know, social media is all pervasive. It's a cultural thing. People have grown up with it. This is, you know, how they're judging their self-worth is how many likes they get and all that. This does not surprise me.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
In 2017,
that's terrible.
55% of facial plastic surgeons, this file this under you can't make this up.
Right.
55% of facial plastic surgeons reported seeing patients who wanted to look better in their selfies. That's an increase of 13% from the prior year. Stanford University turned to the task to quantify just how much selfies distort one's schnozzle. Research fellow Ohad Fried, F-R-I-E-D, but with a name like Ohad, it's probably pronounced differently. He came up with a mathematical model based on the average head and facial feature measurements obtained from a group of racially and ethnically diverse participants. Fried has studied selfie distortion before, and he actually has developed, science to the rescue, a photo editing tool that automatically adjusts the nose.
Now, there you go. That makes sense because in this article, it is quite interesting. They have two examples. One is a selfie that's taken 12 inches from the face and another one at 5 feet. And there is definitely a difference in appearance, perceived appearance, although it's obviously the same person. What's the big deal? So it would be very easy to employ an app to figure out how to make this, you know, Photoshop it for you, right?
This extensive research has revealed that the standard selfie at about a 12-inch distance makes the nasal base look about 30% wider than if the photo had been snapped at a, here, take my picture distance of 5 feet. The sniffer selfie syndrome is the way social media has messed with our already fragile egos.
There is actually a trademark on that,
yes.
The sniffer selfie syndrome.
Studies have shown a correlation between heavy social media use and jealousy and depression. It remains unclear whether people who are already predisposed to depression are inclined to spend more time on social media seeking some form of affirmation.
Yes.
And they get hammered in places, you know, things like Twitter are just terrible for that. But Social media, of course, people want to project an identity that promotes your wealth, health, and physical attractiveness, and just be a normal human being.
Well, I think the conclusion in this article is exactly right. If you believe, you really believe you need to have a smaller nose in your pictures, then start by Googling selfie tips. For one thing, it's a heck of a lot cheaper, and it's a whole lot safer than having your schnoz worked on.
Yeah,
I have a friend that had his nose worked on, and he said, had I known what I was in for, I would not have bothered.
Yeah.
And I think he had a physiological problem, deviated septum or something like that, but...
That's a pretty heavy surgery.
Yeah, it was. You know, he had a black and blue face for quite a while, and it messed with his sense of smell and all kinds of unintended consequences of doing that. And he said, had he to do it over again, he wouldn't have done it.
You know, one of the great tools of science fiction, and particularly Star Trek, is that all the aliens speak English.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course...
Or the same language, anyway.
This, yeah, or the same, is the universal translator. And on the Star Trek original series, it looked an awful lot like a salt shaker, which, in fact, it was. from the prop department.
Yes, they were, the set people were sent out to buy the most futuristic-looking things like that they could find. And bring them back, and they made them props on the set.
Now, by the time the series Next Generation came along, they were using, hello... their communications devices as their universal translators.
Right.
In other words, in real time, as the alien spoke, whatever gibberish it was speaking, you were hearing the translation in your ear.
I think Star Wars was one of the few that actually had what, you know, appeared to be native language. And then later on, Star Trek picked that up with Klingon, which is an actual fabricated language. But it has rules and structure like any proper language.
There are people who actually translate Shakespeare into Klingon.
Yeah, oh my gosh, they must have nothing to do.
Anyway, this universal translator uses Alexa, you know, which will allow a person to, in a conversation with someone speaking a foreign language, to have the virtual assistant translate directly as you chat away. And these things are already existing in text-based programs, but to do it in real-time and audio... what could possibly go wrong?
Well, there you go, right? Because even people who translate paper, have you ever read some things, instructions that come from literal translations? It's hysterically funny, some of these things. But the other thing about it is what happens when you get to slang, of course. Or
idioms, Americanisms.
Right.
Like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Or profanity.
Yep.
Is this thing going to do like the translators in the diplomatic corps do and rephrase it so that it's not so offensive or what?
But you were talking, who was it you were talking to who is native in a foreign tongue and the phrase that did not translate?
Does not translate to Dutch is, yeah, right.
Yeah, and there was absolutely no parallel.
Right, and he had that's his absolute favorite American response to something, and he says it just does not translate into Dutch. And he says, but there's one in Dutch that doesn't translate well into English, and I forget what it was. And he said it and translated it, and I'm like, blink, blink, blink. And he says, see what I mean?
Amazon wants to go more than just real-time literal translation. Sources claim that Amazon wants to have Alexa, which is going to be the operating system for this, to navigate not only the language but also cultural differences between addressing the father of the bride at a wedding and the master of ceremonies, choice of words, level of formality, especially in Asian cultures.
Once,
you address a person differently depending upon their status to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, we didn't get to all of the stories that are posted on the Boomer Tech Flipboard page. Go check out more stories about technology there.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar.
Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A powerful nor'easter that pounded coastal areas from Maryland to Maine is moving further out to sea, but floods continue to be a problem.
The Duxbury, Massachusetts Fire Department got more than 100 emergency calls during the height of the nor'easter. They usually get 8 to 12 a day.
We're a coastal community. We deal with this on a regular basis, but this storm packed a good punch.
And